Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic. I'm joined by our head of production, the best ears in the business, Mr. Seth Habhack.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, that's a little too high. High praise this early in the morning, man.
That was pretty good. That's not bad. I just read what you wrote. Seth's with us today. We're going to have some fun. We also got a bunch of other things lined up for you today. We're actually going to rewind a little bit to kick off our show because we're going to tell you what Seth and I were up to last night.
Mm-hmm.
And no, don't get your head out of the gutter. Wasn't anything like nasty. No, it was fun. It was cool. It was a really good experience.
It was great. It was.
Seth and I are also going to get into a really cool idea, I think. If Little League parents berate umpires, what we should do with them. And I think it's a masterful idea. We'll
great.
See what you think and the audience thinks a little bit later. We're going to talk about food trends a little bit, the eight new AI-powered glasses that are coming out. I love how they call these new. Google had a version of this already.
A couple years ago, didn't work really well. So yeah. We'll
talk about that a little. In the 8 o'clock hour, Seth and I are going to get into the most overrated movies in the history of cinema.
Ooh.
That should be interesting.
That'll be nice.
I wonder how they I didn't look ahead, so I don't know how they calculated this out or anything, if it's a matter of like a box office bust or if it's a movie that was overhyped. You know, I'm not sure. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Looking forward to that. 8 o'clock hour, we'll start it off with our direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Looking forward to talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
After that, of course, we'll get into that subject about movie cinema. And we got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club a little later after that. 9 o'clock hour kicks off with our friend Madison, then Southwood County Humane Society, as we have our Pet of the Week.
Nice.
So looking forward to this. It's going to be a blast having Madison in talking about not only our Humane Society, but our furry friends.
James is like really excited.
I tell you, there's certain things where you just sit back and you're like, this job is hard. It is spinning plates. It can be... It can take up so much of your life, and it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. We got a great gig, man. We really do. All of that coming up, 9 o'clock hour, also going to feature some entertainment news, some Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day. As usual, we crammed 20 hours of show into 3 hours.
Yes.
All that coming up.
How do
up
we
for
do
you.
It?
I don't know. I
how
don't
do
know.
We do it?
We don't we speed up like how people listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Only we just do it for it. We just talk really fast. So Seth and I yesterday had the privilege of being in the Lizard's Den. We went and recorded an episode of Director's Cut with the legendary band The Lizards.
Mm-hmm.
Lizards have been rocking this area for decades.
Mm-hmm.
They have gone through a number of different band changes over the years. In recent years, had a tragedy happen with the band and have had two new albums come out.
Yes.
That's a lot. To cover.
A lot.
We go into the interview, and the guys invited us to their studio. So Seth and I went over to the west side of town here to the Lizard studio to record. And on the way over there, I was going over my questions and thinking about the conversation ahead and all the music we wanted to play. They have such a huge library. And I had the thought earlier in the day, but I lost it, and I came back about the idea of turning this into a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to cover.
Mm.
I could spend an hour on one album, or I could spend an hour on the history of the Lizards. I could spend an hour talking about Jeff Goss easily. And I know the rest of the band could, too. So the idea of doing a two-parter, it sounds really cool to me. I love the idea. I'm the guy that grew up loving Physical Graffiti and like double albums and things like that. So that's what pops in my head right
sure,
away.
Sure, sure.
But I have, you know, five other people to consider, including you, of course. Everybody rolled with it. Everybody was so cool about the idea and was all game for it and everything. Just as importantly, you, man, because you're my partner in this. I can't do this without you. It does. If you didn't want to do it, we aren't doing it. It's got to be a team effort,
right?
And you are the one that makes my ideas actually happen. it makes them sound good for the audience and everything. So the fact that everybody was gung-ho about that and cool with it, it's such an such a last second kind of thing. I just want to start off thanking them and you for that. one of the band members of the Lizards for many years, and the Weevils and many other bands around here, a little similar to Ben in some ways, Jeff Goss. One of the greatest guitarists I've ever seen in person, one of the greater musical minds I've ever been around, and just one of my favorite people I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
We lost Jeff back in 2018 to dementia. And I have not been to that. I realized I hadn't been to that studio since then, because I used to hang out with Jeff until like 3 in the morning listening to music and things like that there. And I hadn't been there in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize I hadn't even been to that part of town since Jeff passed. And I realized in the course of the interview, because I am one of these people that doesn't do a great job of handling things in the moment, my focus goes on other people, and I end up dealing with my junk a little bit later. I talked about it the other day. I didn't deal with Carl's passing until like a year later.
Right.
With this stuff with Jeff, I did not realize there was that much stuff unprocessed, and how much I had been avoiding it and that area. So it was healing for the band, healing for us.
Right.
It was a really, really rocking, fun experience. My God, these guys are good. We had the privilege of kind of like breaking out for the rest of the area, the world here and everything, that Ben is in the band.
That's right. He's only been there for a couple of months with practicing with them, getting ready to do live with them and maybe some recording, who knows, in the future. But, of course, people who listened to Director's Cut or know the local music scene know how good Ben is.
Yeah.
And he is like a perfect fit.
Really is.
With the group. It just, he blends in so seamlessly with them. It was great.
We had such a, we spent the first hour literally just talking. Talking
about hour and 15 minutes.
He was that one keeping track. He was the one having to do. We could have just done this, that like that as a show.
We could have
alone and everything, but we really wanted to take our time with these subjects, with these guys.
Yep.
They've earned it. They deserve it. Jeff deserves it. The band, the albums deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, the fans deserve it. The Lizards fans out there deserve it. I think we got some stuff out of the guys, especially Milo and Mark, that not everybody has before.
No,
and I don't mean that like. Like curveball questions or anything. I mean, just basic stuff. Just talking with them about the history of their personal history and how it ties together.
And how they've been doing this for 34
years, I think? 34 years.
34 years.
It was an incredible experience.
Any entity that lasts that long, there's something special going on there.
How was it for you? I've got a lot of history in this. I have a lot of emotional stakes in this and everything. But every time I looked over at you, you were smiling or you were checking something.
Yeah.
Like it was one or the other. Did you have a good time? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, absolutely. I had a great time. It was wonderful. I had to, but it was a new experience about, you know, how do I get the sound? How do I get it into something I can use so then I can edit, get it to the show, into show form? So that was a little different. You know, I got to use their actual mixing board for that, which was fun because I haven't been able to do that very much. Yeah. You know, we had a 5 microphone set up, you know, so everyone was sitting in their spots while we were doing the interview, which I liked. So then we'd have to move microphones around. We had to do a little bit, but we don't have to move it around. They can just talk when they want to.
Ben did have to sit close.
Yes.
To me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I think he deserves some credit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But it was great. I mean, it was fun to listen to everything because I know very little about the Lizards. Mm-hmm. I know Ben and I know Milo pretty well from other, you know, venue for other things. But I didn't know the rest of the guys. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun to get to know their history. And then, of course, listen to their music right in the studio, which was great. That was awesome.
We had such a blast doing this and hanging out with them and everything. Just can't thank them enough for the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That episode of Director's Cut is going to premiere this Sunday. We're looking forward to it. And then part 2 will be on the following week.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Director's Cut is just part of the great music that we do and the great stuff that we do on the weekends. We have, of course... you know, the greatest show of all time, really. If not the great, at least the greatest polka show of all time. The Sunshine Polka Show with Tim Hubbell. Be sure to join Tim every Saturday morning at 7 and then Sundays at 1 when we're able to put it in at 1 when we don't have other programming.
That's right.
You know, Badger basketball or something like that. Tim does such an amazing job with this show. Please support the show and support local music, local creation and all that. The work that he does. We, of course, have Over the Back Fence every Saturday from 11 to noon. We have found the perfect time slot for it. This just seems to work. You guys seem to be calling in and making it work. We appreciate that so much. The show doesn't work without you, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, with spring cleaning, with people getting their stuff out, we've been getting a lot more calls. So tune in. There might be something. Someone calls in that you just need. That's what it's all about, everyone.
I really enjoyed my time out in the West Coast and everything, but God, I love the Midwest. I enjoyed the South, too. I really did enjoy the South. But man, I love the Midwest. I was driving around last weekend, and, you know, we had a little bit of snow, all those things and everything, garage sale signs all over the place.
Yep. Starting up already.
That's our people. That's our people. You know, let Mother Nature tell you you can't have a garage sale?
That's right.
Do it. Just go for it. You got things to get out of your house. Do it. And give Seth a call. Let him know about your garage and garage sales.
If you've got one coming up, let us know.
Call up on the show just like you would here, 424-2600, and join Seth for Over the Back Fence every Saturday from 11 to noon. And the lead-in and the perfect setup for us with Director's Cut is Seth Faces the Music. One of the cool things that has happened with Director's Cut is your fan base has grown with the guests we bring on with Director's Cut.
Like this, like the literal the people that are on the show, yeah.
I was talking with Jordan just the other day, Jordan Bain, who was with us a couple weeks ago. He loves your show. He loves your show, man. He was like, yeah.
Hey, however I can do it. If it's one person at a time, I'll do it.
That's all it takes. because of the heavy lifting that I'm making you do with the Lizard Show, you're doing something special with your show this week.
Yeah, so because there's going to be a lot of editing involved in the Lizards program for this week and next week.
Yeah.
For this week, I'm going to do a rebroadcast of a previously done show for Seth Faces the Music. So I haven't decided yet which one I'm going to do. I might just surprise everyone and throw something out there.
Oh, roulette it.
I love the fact that I've got, I haven't counted lately, but I've got so many shows I can choose from now that I can throw out there. So yeah, I'm excited.
Would you take a fan request for a repeat?
Like absolutely.
If somebody out there reaches out to you and everything, I encourage you guys to do that. If there's an episode you only caught part of or an episode you'd like to hear again or something like that, let Seth know. Reach out to him at his email.
Seth@civicmedia.us.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's great, by the way. I got to remember to do that. Seth figured out something the other day that we don't have to say the whole thing. Or you don't have to type the whole thing. And just james@civicmedia.us will work.
That will work. The email will get to us.
That's awesome.
I did some testing on it on myself, and it worked, and I was like, oh, this is great. So Seth@civicmedia.us, email me if you have a request for a show you want to hear, or if you have any ideas for themes, you can keep those coming. You know, I've had a few of those over the years too, so if you want to give me some ideas, that's great too.
That's a good idea. I like that. I also just wanted to say, too, with the Lizards shows and everything, we did do a lot of talking. There's going to be a lot of music, too. I don't want people to think that it's just us talking or anything.
No, that's a
good part. It's 50-50, I would say. It, if not 60 to the music, 40 to the talking, almost. Mm-hmm. Because that hour and 15 conversation, we're spreading that into two
shows, yeah.
The first episode will be really focused on the band and their work. And I think the other one would be more about the next two albums and that. But we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if that equals out time-wise or not. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Not to worry.
But to Milo, to Mark, to Jamie, to Travis, to Ben, thank you so much for having us over, for hosting us. They're some of the best people we've met in this business.
Yeah.
Love those guys. And going to be supporting. I have been supporting them since the moment I moved to this area.
Yes.
And we'll continue to.
They were very gracious at the end of the night and saying how much they appreciated it, too, being able to be on our show. So it was great. It was really nice to hear that.
Check out more by going to their website, thelizards.com. That's Lizards with a Z, thelizards.com. They're all over wherever you get streaming, wherever you get Spotify, you know, whatever music is, Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff and everything. Sometimes you might have to type in Lizards, just Lizards or The Lizards, but try both, especially on Spotify, and support local artists. That's what this is all about.
Yep.
It's so vital. It's so important. A band like this, been around 34 years, you might not think they need the support. It means just as much to them as it did when they first started.
It does.
It goes so much farther than we realize. Encouragement, support, cost nothing can mean everything.
Yeah. And for those of you who like physical media, this I did not know. They told us last night that they have vinyl of their first album, and they've got some coming for their latest album as well. They don't have it yet, but you can go to their Facebook page and order it from them there. So they got everything.
And you can catch, if you missed Director's Cut this Sunday, or you've missed any of the episodes, or really any of Seth Faces the Music, any of our shows, the morning show here, Morning Magazine, everything is podcasted, everything is streaming at civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us. You can find all of our content right there.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. Come back with our National Day of Calendar and more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you for this April 27th, 2020. 2023. We are going to get into our National Day of Calendar right now.
Okay.
Diving right in. I have to be honest with the audience. So today is my son's birthday. And anytime I say the date, I immediately think of him and want to say happy birthday, JC. I want to just like throw it out there with no context.
Random, yeah.
Yeah, just whatsoever and everything. So that's going to be happening to me throughout the morning to let you guys know. It is Stop Food Waste Day.
Oh, very good one.
You know, I don't understand this. I don't see what's the harm in wasting food. Let's just throw it away. You take a bite, throw it away. What's the problem? No. Who has ever said that in human history?
No.
There's nobody that says that. There's nobody who is okay with wasting food, or it shouldn't be, at least.
Right.
A third of all food produced in the world goes to waste.
Wow.
A third of the food. That is a wasting our agriculture. That is wasting our farmers. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, just as importantly, if not, is the hunger situation. And let's just say in here in Wisconsin Rapids, let alone the world, let alone in third world countries or other parts of America or anything like that, there is hunger issues all around, whether it is our soldiers that are struggling to put food on the table or people just are getting by.
Yep.
There's only a tiny percentage of our population that is living life in lavish. You know, that is
tiny.
That 1% has even gotten smaller. It's not even the top 1% anymore.
Yeah.
They've even knocked that down. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, fools like Elon Musk knocked himself out of that kind of ranking too and stuff. That's helped a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's so vitally important. And every, you know, time this subject comes up, what are we doing? We're asking people to donate. We're asking people to give. And it's been that way since you and I were kids, since most of our audience out there, the older people out there, since they were kids. This has been an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the funny thing is, so a third of the food gets wasted, which means that if you look at it, if food distribution if there was an equality of food distribution throughout the world, we'd be fine.
Yeah.
Everyone would be able to eat. It's not a question of having enough food. We have enough food. It's the question of getting it to where it needs to get to. That's the big problem that we have. Yeah.
Today's a great day to find out more about that and ways that you can help with that. It's Morse code. Oh, wait a minute. Let me do this right. How do I say WFHR in Morse code?
I have no idea.
Morse code day, everybody. Learn it's an audio medium. I thought that would work better. I thought I should have done it on the tape.
There you go. Yeah.
Learn a valuable skill and a fun new way to communicate with friends and family by trying your hand at the simple but highly useful Morse code. Some years back, there was a little bit of a trend. It didn't last very long of people relearning Morse code.
Yep.
I thought that was cool.
I think that's not a bad idea. I think people should learn Morse code just in case. You never know.
It couldn't hurt, right?
Right. Couldn't hurt.
It's one of those things. It's you got a car, but it's awfully good to remember how to ride a bike. You just don't know.
Exactly. It may come in handy someday.
If you don't choose to learn Morse code, I think do yourself a favor and dive into the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating and I think important to our history, to American history. Morse code has been designed had been designed to pay tribute to this traditional Morse code day has been designed to pay tribute to this traditional form of communication. This is a telecommunications method that was used for encoding text characters and involves using standardized sequences of two different signal durations. These are called dits and das, and or dots and dashes. The name Morse code has been inspired by the inventor of the telegraph, Samuel Morse. It's an international Morse code. There is an international Morse code, which is kind of cool, which encodes a small set of procedural signals and punctual signals, as well as Arabic numerals and English alphabet, and same non-English letters as well.
Wow. I didn't know that. There was like a whole international set. That's interesting.
Did you know that there is no distinction between the lower and upper case when using Morse code?
That makes sense.
That's interesting.
That would just be another thing, right? So yeah, you don't need it. Nah, you don't need capitalization.
Morse code was designed so that that for every symbol, the length was inverse to how frequently the character appeared in the English dictionary. For example, E is the most common language within the English alphabet. So based on the notion mentioned, E is going to have the smallest signal, and it is a simple dot.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Wow. Think about what happens when Morse code comes along. What's the easiest, fastest way to communicate with someone at that point? Horseback?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. And all of a sudden, now you can get information, if you have the wires for it, across two different very vast areas in seconds.
It's pretty amazing.
Seconds, man. Think about that. Yeah. It's crazy.
It really is. And at the time we did it too.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard for any of us to take ourselves out of the current history we are living.
It's very hard to do that.
The idea, just talking the other day about there being no internet was crazy and hard to remember for some of us.
Can you go back 1994?
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Even just that, it doesn't seem that long ago when you say it, and at the same time, it feels like it was
forever.
Long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
The innovation that of doing this idea, this horseback thing, it's cool and all, but it takes a long time.
It does.
Like, there's got to be a faster way to do this, and figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how many inventions were created just from our frustration. Like, this is taking too long. That's got to be how the wheel came about.
Like, exactly.
Lugging this stuff is why am I doing this? There's got to be a better way. And figuring out the wheel.
Like, there you go. Yeah.
Human frustration. Is that the true mother of inventions?
Frustration and desperation. I think those are the two real ones. Hmm. Yeah.
It's National Tell a Story Day.
Oh, that's every day, but yes.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm glad they have one that focuses on that. Tell a story, everybody.
You're like myself, and your kids are in their early 20s and everything, so they may not want you to stop by and try to read them a story when they're trying to get ready for bed at night and everything. They really don't like it when you try to tuck them in, trust me.
Yeah, okay.
But...
that'd be hilarious.
I think that it's a great idea. Maybe you can't celebrate this today, but let me tell you, our friends at the United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties have an opportunity coming up in the next couple of months for you to read to kids and the great book giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about that with Terry tomorrow and everything.
Nice.
You can find out more by going to uwswac.org and finding out more about that. So that's one way you can do it. I think a lot of our libraries around here have story times.
They do, yes.
But certainly if you have kids, read to them. It's, trust me, for those that have young ones, you can't have enough moments. You can't have enough memories. It's impossible. You can't get enough. You're going to miss it. I miss it every day. Everything. And with some of it, I didn't even get a chance to experience, you know? So take it all in. And especially those nights where, all right, do you want to read to him? I read last night. It's your turn. Okay, I'll do it. And you do it. And you come out of it. And how do you feel afterwards? Are you tired? Has it been a long day? Yes. But you feel good.
Yeah.
You feel so good afterwards. You feel better than the kids feel. The kids are asleep. Right. Hopefully.
I got to say, you know, when you're totally right about the moments, especially when your kids get older and they start growing up. Yeah, you miss when they were younger and you could do certain things. But I'm at an age with my oldest now that I get to read stories that I have interest in, books and stuff like that.
That's so much
to
fun.
Share with, you know, the stuff that I read when I was his age, and to share and to see if he likes it. And if he does, great. You know, it's really fun. You get to share something from your past with your child. And that's, man, there's nothing like that.
My son is 24 today.
24, man.
And I swear to God, it was yesterday that he wanted to be Spider-Man and was putting his underwear on the outside of his pants because that's what Spider-Man did. Just these moments. Hang on to them. Put them in that memory bank and that mind palace and everything. It's Thank You Thursday.
Well, thank you, Thursday.
Thank you, Thursday.
Oh, wait. Is that what that means?
No, it's not. Okay. It's easy to get involved with Thank You Thursday. Just reach out to the people in your life, whether personal or professional, and thank them for what they do.
Aw.
Nobody has long enough, and we don't have long enough with the people that we love and cherish and care about. It is never going to go out of style. It is never not going to be cool to tell people you care about them to say thank you.
Yes,
in my book, at least.
That's right.
That's never going to go out of fashion.
No,
it's never a bad thing.
No.
And guess what? It's free. Costs you nothing.
Cost anything.
One of our favorite words, free. It's Marine Mammal Rescue Day.
Oh, that's a good one.
With countless threats now facing the ocean, marine mammals need extra help. Donate or volunteer to aid these creatures against extinction or end endangerment.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different animals that are in need and need you know, security, need help. Dolphins, seals, whales, sea otters. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest things that I experienced living out in California in the Santa Barbara area, Carpinteria, there's a couple of other small towns around there. Mm-hmm. Think of this in the way of, like, you know, Point, Plover, Rapids, that kind of thing.
Marshfield,
put it to
get
Marsh, you know, put it in your perspective and everything. Every one of those little towns has a different animal, a sanctuary animal. Like where I spent most of my time in Carpinteria,
right.
It was a seal sanctuary.
Wow.
So when I'm walking across the bluffs and everything and you look down, there's this one section with like 50, 60 seals just laying there having their best life. I had never seen seals in person before.
Right.
And I used to get made fun of because I'd go out of my way to go just check this out. And like, they're just laying there. They're not doing anything. But man, it was cool.
We don't have seals in the Midwest around here.
Awesome.
It's cool.
The only thing I didn't get to see while I was out there, and I will, I don't care what it takes, one day I will do this. I want to see a whale in person.
Oh, yes.
I can't even wrap my mind around that. There's a aquatic zoo that I went to out in San Francisco, and in there they have a full size whale, like skeleton in the ceiling hanging up above.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just walking under that, and I still don't think you can get the impression of how big those things are.
How big these things are.
Yes. There are a lot of different ways that you can add to this. Certainly being informed and recycle. You know, keep the plastic out of our oceans, for God's sake.
You know, here, one way to help protect all these animals, to give them a place to live in the wild where they belong. Let's get the whole planet back in order here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll help them. It helps us, helps them. It's all great. It's all good for everybody.
Take back the planet from these corporations mm-hmm. that have been infecting the planet.
Yeah.
And the politicians that let them get away with it.
You 100%.
National Prime Rib Day.
You know, I'm not a big prime rib guy.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. You know, it's not bad. I don't mind. I'm not going to turn it down.
No, and I know some people that live and die by their prime rib because they love it so much.
Yeah.
And that's great.
I make an okay prime rib. My dad, really good.
Nice.
Really good. And it almost makes me, like, if he's around, I'm like, Dad, do you want to do this? He just makes it so much better. And finally, it is National Teach Your Children to Save Day.
All right.
Teaching your kids how to handle money could be the difference between a stressful and difficult life and a comfortable one. Take some time to set them up.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
It's a very good idea.
Yeah.
Whether it is a checking book or what a 401k is, what savings are, all of these things. And it doesn't matter, like, if you we were poor growing up. I've owned that. I admit that and stuff. My parents still taught us about finances.
Yeah,
still told us how important. I actually think that poor people are the best at budgeting.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, that's because you have to. If you want to survive, man, you got to be very careful. And that's where budgeting and all that stuff comes in. Absolutely.
We're going to have Jackie Carantini on with us today in part two of Morning Magazine. Fittingly, with this today
awesome.
And everything, because that's certainly in Jackie's wheelhouse is one
it
of the
is.
Things we talk about not only covering your bases for yourself and your loved ones, but to set up your loved ones the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
The job of parenting, as much as we would like to just wrap them in a bubble, put them in a room and never let the world affect them and hurt mm-hmm. them and then never experience anything negative in their lives,
right.
That ain't our gig. That's not the job. The job is to prepare them for life.
Right.
And life is good, bad, and gray. It's all of the above.
Right.
And part of that is finances and
unfortunately,
money.
It is, yes.
And that's part of the gig.
That is.
Is setting them up with those things and
100%.
Helping them understand that stuff.
You got it.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back after Melissa's news and we'll have some fun. We got Seth and James with the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. We hope you save the last dance for us. This is the best I had. This is the best I could do.
That was good.
Vanessa Williams had a moment.
Yes.
I thought she was going to be like Janet Jackson level. Like, I really thought with the Miss America stuff and everything that she had, like, the hype, not just musically, but all that hype going into it. And she was an actress. Not that she didn't have a great career, and still has a great career.
Oh, no, she had a lot of really good projects she was on.
Expected it even bigger, you know, which I think we do with a lot of stars. I think we did that with a lot of 80s, 90s stars.
Yeah, maybe too much on them. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, she had a very, very nice voice. She had some hits and stuff there. I don't know if she didn't have a powerful voice like your Whitney Houston or your Janet Jackson, like you said. So she had to do a specific kind of music, just like what she did there, which was fine. No problems with it. But yeah, she didn't quite have that, you know, that grit that a lot of some other singers had.
You're right, though. Yeah. It seems like the artists that really were the like big had that. Mm-hmm. Cyndi Lauper, Madonna.
Had that little bit of something there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's even still like today, like Beyonce.
Lady Gaga.
Interesting. This is an interesting story, I think. And while, you know, when Seth and I get together, we talk a little sports and everything, and I understand not everybody loves sports.
Right.
First of all, we are, what would you say, Seth? WFHR is almost 20-30% sports, like with our high school coverage, with being the home of the Badgers, Rafters, River Kings. I mean, you know.
Between our two stations here, we play a lot of sports, come to think of it,
So one thing I think, though, is finding those spots where even if you don't care about sports, mm-hmm. you're going to find this interesting.
Yeah.
And I think especially people who aren't as personal about sports and close to it mm-hmm. are going to find this very interesting. Because this is a long time debate, and I think we're still trying to figure out what to do and how to make it work. We may have found a solution.
Okay.
Because I'm all in on this. It's Little League season, so it's time to enjoy warm evenings watching youth baseball and trying to ignore that annoying parent in the back who keeps yelling at the referee or at his kid or at the opposing team or anything like that. Taking it, basically trying to live vicariously through children. Like an adult trying to live vicariously through a child.
Yes.
I'm sorry that your life didn't work out the way that you expected it to. Guess what? None of ours did.
You're not,
get in line, man. Get in line.
You're not the starting center fielder for the Cubs.
Sorry, didn't work out. You know? But, you know, guess what? You're still alive. That's a win. Maybe take advantage of that.
You've got kids, man.
You've got kids. Let them live their life.
Yeah.
They got their dreams. Let them have them. Yeah. Don't give them yours. Don't be, hey, Timmy, you should be what I wanted to be. No. Well, a town in New Jersey has already had several umpires walk off after being harassed by parents, so they've come up with a punishment. For those that don't know, referees on TV are one thing.
Mm-hmm. They're professionals.
They're professionals. They get paid to do a job, and just like athletes, you got to be able to take it when you get feedback, positive or negative.
Exactly.
I think it's the same way with what we do. Mm-hmm. We get paid to do this.
Yep.
We're in the entertainment field. You sign up for this. It's a good gig, but it's also what you sign up for. And trust me, this audience does not mind letting you know.
That's right.
Love you guys out there, and love that about you. These umpires on this level aren't, if they're paid, it's peanuts.
Yep.
And most of them aren't paid. 90% of them volunteer
for this. It's volunteer mostly, yes.
Imagine how none of us have much free time. But I don't care if you were retired and had nothing but free time. You are still taking time out of your personal life to go and help these kids do this, because none of these games happen on any level at any sport without referees, without umpires.
You need the officials. Otherwise, you can't play the game. You really can't.
Yeah. You can almost play without a ball before you can play without an official.
Exactly.
Not that you can, but you can almost get away with it better than without an official.
Imagine a ball.
And I'm not saying that that nobody is above criticism. But in the middle of a game, yelling at them or something like that, like worse than a child.
Yeah.
Like, now, if you want to have a conversation with this, a rational conversation, like two adults, after the game or something like that, that is a human being.
Yeah, makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But doing it that way, there's no.
It's for the kids, man. That's what you're all there for. It's so the kids can get, you know, can play, have fun.
I feel like we have to remind people more and more as we go along here. It's not about you. Okay? Yeah. It ain't about you. There's plenty of things in life that are about you.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things in life that you can do about you and focus on you and et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot in life that ain't about you, man. It just ain't. And no. you gotta accept that. Suck it up. Move on. It's life.
Move on.
Yeah. And maybe we need to do something like this. So they have, in New Jersey, they came up with a punishment for these people that are harassing umpires. If you're caught berating an umpire during a game, you'll be banned from the complex unless you agree to suit up as an umpire yourself and call three games. The idea is if you're such a know-it-all, grab some gear, get behind the plate, shut up and do it. Naturally, most of these loudmouths actually don't know baseball at all.
Nope.
Much like morning show quarterback or morning quarterbacks, you know,
Monday,
that
morning quarterbacks, morning
quarterback
yeah.
thing and stuff. So there will be still be certified umpires at the game to make sure that the correct calls are made. And of course, other parents will let them know when they're wrong. Local parents and Little League officials love this idea. So it's possible it could catch on.
We'll see how it works. This is one of those, why didn't we think of this sooner?
Yes.
Doesn't this make sense? It's not like, yeah, you're not going to do it like in a major league game or an NBA game. You're not going to say, the official's like, hey, you think you could do it better?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen. You know, we're doing that. Yeah. But now, at this level, hey.
I have waited my whole life for a center fielder or a point guard or somebody like that to just pick, like, that one fan that won't let it go. You have at it, man.
Yeah.
Have at it. Go right ahead. Here's $100. I'll even pay you for the game.
Yeah.
Get out there. Come on, hustle. Hustle.
Yeah.
Why'd you miss that shot? Oh,
yeah.
What'd you do? No. I'd love to see that. Love to see
It'd
that.
It'd be hilarious.
I also love the idea of athletes or umpires going to your job and harassing you at your job. It seems like fair play.
It would be fair, right?
Hey, you didn't help that person quick enough. You should have been on that right away.
Yeah.
How did you not know where that item was?
You call this customer service?
Yeah.
Come on,
get in the game. What's wrong with you? I think we need more of this.
Yeah,
I think, literally, I'm not joking here. I really do want to reach out to our contacts at the WIAA and propose this.
Yeah.
I'm sending the link to this story, and I want to get this incorporated here in Wisconsin and in the Midwest in general, because it's cool in the East Coast to be doing this. I think this is perfectly built for the Midwest.
I think so, too.
Imagine this, too, because it's hard to get people to referee. It's hard getting referees
hard,
for these
very
games.
Hard, yeah.
What if one of these loudmouths get behind there, does this, and realizes, this ain't so bad. Maybe I want to do this.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Maybe it's a weird recruiting tool.
Maybe. You know, I mean, even if it's one out of 20, that's
maybe
one
it'll help.
Ref.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, again, this is about the kids. It's about these kids being able to play these games and have fun with them. Did I want my son to grow up and be an athlete? Yeah, because I'm a guy. And that's what a lot of us do. You know what I wanted more than that, more than anything in the world? For him to be what he wanted to be. That from day one. And I had that because I had that from my father.
Mm-hmm.
My father, athlete, that didn't have his career go the way he wanted it to.
Okay.
Injuries and that kind of stuff pulled him away from the game. I can't imagine what it's like for him, even to this day, watching hockey or watching a boxing match and how much he wants to be out there. I see him sometimes shadow boxing and things. I know he still has that. I was 7 years old and went up to him and told him I wanted to be an actor. The opposite of what he's talking about and everything. He looks down at me and tells me, Jimmy, I don't care what you want to be. Just be the best. That's it. Just give it everything you got. To try to be the best at it. That was it. And I did the same thing with my kids. I don't see why that's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you... It's your dream. Like, why do you want to put it on somebody else or anything? I don't understand that.
Plus, Jim Brown, actor.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
How many sports people go into acting?
Oh,
There's a number of them that do that.
I wish I had known that one with my grandfather when I told him that I wanted.
Hey, Jim Brown's an actor. Come on, man.
Yeah, that'd be good. I really wish I would have, because he liked Jim Brown. That'd be good. We're going to take a break right here, but I'd love to know what the audience thinks about this.
Yeah.
Feel free to reach out to us, james@civicmedia.us, seth@civicmedia.us, any of us, really.
Yeah.
Love to get some feedback on this one. Hear what you you guys think. Maybe we'll discuss it more on Playmakers coming up this Monday.
Nice.
I'm letting Seth know in real time on the air that I'm going to need him on Monday. I haven't got a chance to tell
him. That's okay.
Him.
That's all right.
So Seth and I will be doing the show together this Monday. It should be fun. As a programming note, we'll let you know, not this Monday, but the following Monday, Taylor is going to join us from the rafters again.
Nice.
We worked it out with Taylor. He's going to join us like once or twice a month throughout the right now until the end of the rafter season.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That is very, that's super awesome. Yeah.
Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring Playmakers, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James going to take you right to the top of the hour. I didn't mean to call myself in third person there. I hate that. Seth and I are going to take you to the top
of the
hour.
That's fine. I don't think anyone noticed.
No, they didn't. after that, we're going to get you an update from CBS News. And, of course, following that, we're going to have a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, see what Mother Nature is up to today and throughout the weekend, as it is Friday Eve.
That's right.
Happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Woohoo!
When we're done with all that, Seth and I are going to dive into the most overrated movies in the history of cinema.
That's good.
It should be a fun conversation.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. Looking forward to diving into that. Of course, don't forget, we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our Pet of the Week, thanks to our great friend Madison in the Southwick County Humane Society.
Yes, indeed.
For right now, people experience FOMO about a lot of things. Travel, job opportunities, social gatherings, local events, that kind of thing. In this new poll, 77% of Americans on social media say that they have had a fear of missing out on the latest food trends.
Huh?
That seems interesting.
That's it, okay.
It sounds like that includes both the impressive stuff people make and post photos of, like your sister-in-law making omelets without them falling apart, or to the silly TikTok trends, like putting ketchup on pancakes or something like that.
Right.
Among people who admit to having food FOMO, FOMO, that's a fear of missing out.
Yeah, right.
57% have attempted to make the food at home themselves.
Hmm.
And they average trying 4 recipes a month that they're seen online.
Wow.
But keep in mind, social media isn't always what it seems. 73% of people admitted to spending extra time preparing their meals just to make them more picturesque for social media.
Makes sense.
If you have ever seen a ad for any fast food restaurant in human history, you should already know this.
Yes, they put makeup essentially on the food. They make it up to look really nice. And I think there's an actual job, isn't there? Like a food decorator. I can't remember what it's called. The person who sets up the food.
We had on the TV show I was on that we filmed. We had a lunch scene. And we got all excited because we had filmed, we had back-to-back days where we were filming like 12-hour days.
Ooh.
And like 1 hour break in between all that and everything. So we hadn't eaten in like a couple hours, and it just works out that the next scene is going to be this, you know, eating scene.
Meal scene.
And we're all joking around like, okay, we're going to get this on the first take so we can eat right away afterwards and stuff. And then they put the food in front of us. And me and Eddie immediately, we see these fries, and I love fries. It's almost physically impossible for me not to grab a fry if I see one in front of me.
Right.
I go to reach for it, and the catering lady slaps my finger, and then she immediately apologizes. I'm so sorry I did that. So it's a force of habit and stuff. It's plastic stuff on the like it's real fries,
yep.
But they put this like almost glue like glaze over them to make them shine that isn't edible. So like none of the food was real. Like there was one spot on the hamburger I could take a bite of. The director told me to take a bite of and set it down, but do not flip it or just keep it right there. And in person, you can kind of see some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know about how other people do this, but when I'm acting, I'm in the moment. I am that person. I'm not thinking about, like, too many other factors. You know, when you're on stage, it's a little different, but film acting, it's very, you have to really be in the moment. If you pay too much attention to the guy holding the mic and all these things,
right.
You're never going to believe you're that character. You're never going to be able to be encompassed in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like just, you know, grabbing stuff and everything and having to like, I pick up a fry and I don't want to break the scene. So I pick it up and I'm using it to point and stuff. And I'm just like talking with it and everything. And then like hoping when the other person's talking, imagining that they're going to flip to them and setting the fry down.
Right,
like,
right.
And, you know, just talking like I ate it or something like that.
Yeah, right.
If I remember right, I even did one where I was kind of talking like
you had food in your mouth?
Food in my mouth, yeah. We talked to a couple people. There was two people there that day to set all this up.
Mm-hmm.
They love their job. They're both chefs. And they had their own restaurants, both of them. Mm-hmm. Not restaurants, both had food trucks.
Okay.
And the food truck thing is their passion. This was kind of for fun.
Yep.
And I thought that was pretty
cool. And I'm guessing it was lucrative, too, on a movie or a TV show set. You get paid pretty decent.
They were our caterers, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I imagine that's probably it was a pretty sweet gig. I don't know. I don't know about the whole the food trends thing. I will say this, though. As far as, social media influencing goes,
mm-hmm.
this isn't so bad.
No, it's not.
We pick on the internet for rightful reasons. There's mm-hmm. a lot of bad stuff about it and everything, but I feel like we focus way too much on that and do not give enough positives to how great and how much better our lives have gotten because of the internet.
Right.
We don't say that enough. It's okay to say that while also understanding that there are some negatives about it.
Right.
We can do this with a lot of things in life. There have been some instances in society where the seatbelt hasn't saved a person, or the seatbelt has been a detriment in the situation.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we get rid of the seatbelt.
No.
That doesn't mean that we, keep moving on.
Nope.
It's a little like what Bucks fans are dealing with right now. The Bucks were the number one seed, lost to the Miami Heat, who was a number eight seed, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, that shouldn't happen. If you know basketball and you understand basketball, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Especially with these two teams that know each other very well, and you've got injuries that happen on both teams.
Mm-hmm.
But this is basketball. This happens. Giannis Antetokounmpo gets asked by, and I hate this question, it's such a lazy, low-hanging fruit question, was this year a failure because you didn't win it all?
Oh, jeez.
And this kid is so good at this stuff. And Giannis takes a second, and he tells him, this guy asked him the same question last year. And he's like, look, in your job, you want a promotion. You want to make more money. If you go through a year and you don't do that, is it a failure? Should you just give up? Should you just, go ahead and chalk mm-hmm. it up and everything? Everything is building to something greater.
Mm-hmm.
You keep working, hoping you're going to get that raise, hoping you're going to get that promotion, those kind of things. In sports, it's no different. Certainly are they feeling it today? Certainly you can feel hurt and pain and everything.
Of course, yeah.
Not only as fans, imagine how those guys feel.
Yeah.
The guys that are actually putting in the sweat and blood and effort into the sport.
Yep.
They're also paid a lot of money to do it. So how do you... What is it for? Only one team can win.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows going into it that the overall goal is to win a championship, but only one team can win. So what mm-hmm. can you do? Get better every year. Repetition. Everybody, no matter what you're doing in life, the more you do it, you're going to get better at it.
Yep.
So you play 82 games, you play another 6-7 games in the playoffs. That's some experience that your young guys didn't have, that your chemistry didn't have for your team. Mm-hmm. That is not a failure. That is not a... Think about all the money the Deer District pulled in for the community. Think about all the local people around there selling shirts and things like that. Mm-hmm. The restaurants in that area, the boom in business. Do you think that it was a failure for them?
No.
I mean,
for them, it's
have
wonderful.
Some damn perspective, for God's sake. Plus, you just won a title 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And spoiler alert, you got the greatest player in the world on your team.
Yeah.
Have some perspective. I'm not even talking to the fans so much as some of the talking heads out there.
Yeah.
Not even our local ones as much as the ESPNs and these guys. It's with low hanging fruit that they got to do this debate television that just is so boring.
Yes.
It's so old and done with.
Yeah, at least they didn't ask about Aaron Rodgers.
Because
if it was ESPN, they probably would have.
Oh, they would have found a way to tie it into that. Yes, yes. We are going to come back and have some fun. Of course, I have a live and direct update from Paul Trombley and our friends at the WeatherEye Weather Center. And we'll get into this worst or most overrated movies in cinema and history cinema. All that coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.